Lisa, continue. Proverbs yeah, at page 117. Anatta or non-self nature. Anatta or non-self nature is also emptiness. If one realizes anatta or penetrates the understanding of true emptiness, then one can also become enlightened. Once awakened to true emptiness, then one will understand why the Heart Sutta says true emptiness is wonderful existence. When thinking, one is clouded by what one thinks. Hence, no clarity to understand what is happening within the moment to awaken to the truth. As man can only do one thing at a time, that is either one is aware and silent within, means heedful, or lost in thought, hence heedless. Living beings are most of the time preoccupied with what they think, plus all their mind's reaction to the three evil roots that they create within their thought process. They are their likes and dislikes, pleasant and unpleasant feeling and emotion that arise upon contact of mind within every moment of sense consciousness. India, he'll take over eating the sweet. Okay.
In the Diamond Sutra, right, it is said the mind must have no dwelling. Hui Neng understood this sutra when he heard it because Hui Neng's mind is true mind. Reason why he was able to see things as they are via the silent mind without thought, as he was born without the mundane mind. If you create via thoughts, then there is good and bad for you to dwell on. So duality will arise because thoughts divide via words and concepts like gender, race, religion, nationality, right and wrong, good and bad, etc. Non-duality is the doctrine of true emptiness. With wisdom, one can see things as they are and can accept everything that happens as natural or the way things are, hence transcending all dualities that lead to reaction of mind. Knowing via thoughts is knowledge, whereas awakening via the silent mind without thoughts is enlightenment, which is an understanding, and understanding is non-rigid because it is not knowledge. No right and no wrong because everything is just the way it is. True suchness or katata. Dhammapada verse 183 states that all evils is to be avoided. Do good and purify the mind. And this is the advice of all Buddhas, which all Buddhas must follow, or which all Buddhists must follow. To purify the mind, one must develop the enlightenment factors of equanimity and samadhi to see things as they are. Then, with wisdom, one will come to understand that things are just the way they are, and there will be no good and evil, right or wrong, wholesome and unwholesome, etc. In meditation, no right, no wrong because deluded person will say deluded things. Angry person will say angry things. So accept them for what they are via perceiving them with equanimity. When you perceive a life situation with negativity or without equanimity, you will react and your mind will stir to bring about suffering to all, including yourself. The Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. And there is no one to see. An external form arises through consciousness. So do wake up to this reality via the pure awareness to see clearly that mind is the forerunner of all things and mind is chief. Everything arises when mind arises. Then, when we understand that, we can reverse all these mental creations via returning all external mental creations to mind consciousness, then mind consciousness to the pure awareness. And then pure awareness back to the great void, which is emptiness, via realizing the cessation of form and mind, which is Nibbana. Then we would have understood the whole mystery of nature's creation. If all phenomena can be returned to mind consciousness, then to pure awareness, and then finally back to true emptiness, it means they are all not so real, all created by mind via consciousness and mind made are they. Hence, the phenomenon world is a world of consciousness, and they are all really empty. Beyond mind, there is no creation and no suffering. I.e., without mind, there is no form, no perception, no feeling, no sankhara, hence no karma and no creation via mental consciousness. Cognitions via mental perceptions is all mind-made. Hence, phenomena and perceptions are all linked. They are all impermanent, leading to suffering and anatta or empty. The pure awareness before the knowing, or absence of mind, which can be aware of the silence of nature, is not a conditioned arising phenomenon. Hence, it is the unconditioned, and also your true mind. But it is not a permanent unchanging entity that it can call the me and the I, because it cannot come out to live life, whereas the mundane conditioned arising mind needs sense data in the form of vibration for the arising of the hearing consciousness to perceive, hence, its conditioned arising nature within the phenomenal world. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1, Meditation Question 1. Often feel peace and calm during meditation. Oh, sorry. I often feel peace and calm during meditation. I also feel warm in my body. As I bow and chant, it increases the mindfulness in me. Thereafter, it prepares me for more effective sitting meditation. Baldur answered, as you meditate, the yin and yang energies can build up to cause heat and cold to arise within your body. Here at Wuping Jingse, there is no air conditioning, so we tend to feel warm, and sometimes we sweat too. Is the warmness uncomfortable? No, it is quite soothing. Then it is okay, and you can just silence your mind and relax into it. And as long as your mind is not affected by the heat, then you are at peace with it. Otherwise, your mind will be affected and cause you to react. For some, when do samatha or one-pointedness, concentration and absorption type of meditation, they tend to have this heat problem because of their yin and yang imbalance. This is especially so for those who like to play with energy fields to develop psychic powers. The Maras too can come and delude them and disturb them. But if they know how to release the energy build up and come out to a normal state of awareness, to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness to develop the wisdom as taught by the Buddha, then they are alright and they can also develop the enlightenment. 3.2. Meditation question and sharing of the work by Byron Katie. Brother Teo, how about your daily mindfulness? Are you able to develop it? The reply, for a while only, because I get easily agitated and affected when confronted with difficult situations in daily life. Then the calmness and the daily mindfulness are all gone. Brother Teo answered, habitual tendencies born of the wrong view to perceive certain situations with negativity is the cause. You lack right view and you should reflect, contemplate and inquire deep into the Dhamma via the second turning of the first noble truth to develop the Cintamaya Panya. To overcome this problem of yours, you should inquire why you are agitated or affected. How do these habitual tendencies that cause you to react do such situations come about? You will finally come to understand that it is because you have certain expectations and preferences born of your wrong view that condition you to think that way for so long already. You are actually grasping or clinging onto your wrong thoughts born of your conditioned memories. Seeing this clearly with your pure awareness will enable you to strengthen your view via silencing your mind to develop the wisdom and right understanding needed to free your mind. You can also inquire to free via applying the work as taught by Byron Katie to free. The work is a simple yet powerful process of inquiry that teaches you to identify and question the thoughts that cause all the suffering in this world. It is a practical way to understand what's hurting you and to address the cause of your suffering or problems with clarity. Her work consists of four lines of questioning or inquiries to develop the wisdom to free, and they are: 1. Question the wrong thoughts that condition you to react habitually. What the thought is telling you, is it true? 2. Then inquire again and by asking, can you absolutely know that it is true? 3. How do you react and what happens when you believe that thoughts? You are afflicted, isn't it? Here, hence, it is a wrong thought and you should arise the right effort to abandon it instead of believing it or clinging onto it to condition your suffering and misery. 4. Who would you be without this wrong thought? Peaceful and at ease, isn't it? With this clarity of mind and non-reaction, then we can act following the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve whatever issues amicably without having to resort to any negativity of action, speech or thoughts, thereby leading to the end of all suffering. Then you will perceive life differently and will know how to truly live life, to experience all of its beauties and wonders. The pure awareness with wisdom within is so beautiful, and it can experience all of nature's pristine purity and beauty. When I was in New Zealand, I can feel that the nature there is so pure and so different because there is very little human consciousness to pollute it. Even the food I eat makes my body feel so good. 3.3. Question: how do you perceive opening chakras via Qigong practices? Virtue answered, when you use your thought to open your chakras, you have to be careful because the thought created by the unenlightened being still has delusion. So it can bring about yin and yang imbalance. It can also mean tempering, because wherever you focus and concentrate your mind, the thought energy will build up there. It is advisable to develop only the relaxation and mindfulness training to exercise the body while doing the Qigong practices, not to focus and store your thoughts energy at the Tan Tian, unless the intention is to develop the Qi for health purposes. Do not use it to develop the psychic or energy field. There is a safer and more genuine way to open the chakra via developing the wisdom first. Then when the mind can cease via wisdom, one can make use of it to develop the 10 perfections toward the Bodhisattva way to realize Buddhahood. Develop the loving kindness, compassion and wisdom, and then stay at the heart area and silence one's mind to detect the gateway to our nature. This gateway will melt all life force and mental or pure awareness energies into our nature to become pure neutral energy, which is no more of the yin and yang type. This is the pure energy that can really open up the chakras internally and naturally via trust, i.e. without the interference of any thought.
Okay, I think I need to explain a bit. Huh? You see, all this opening of chakra that people talk about are mainly the Hindu teaching, huh? Or what they call the Kundalini type of teachings. They believe there are seven major chakras. You know what are chakras? Energy center. Because these nerve centers, there are certain centers that vibrate. So it's in these seven, they are connected. And they are the mimic of the universe. It seems, according to their religion. That's why they say they are born in the image of God. Their nature is God. So these seven chakras are like major constellation of star system, understand, that control. And these seven, they actually control the rest. Just like our seven major chakras control our physical body and our nervous system, then there are minor, what they call chakras, they call nadis. But these are all mainly Hindu teaching. The Buddha didn't go into it. The Buddha didn't even want to talk about it. But if you do awareness-based meditation, then you will finally come to locate, but not easy to locate. There is a gateway to our nature. So you go through the gateway to our nature, connected to our nature, then that is the safest way. Because that one, the moment it goes through the gateway, whatever energy you have externally in yang, it just melt inside and become pure energy. Then this pure energy is intelligent. It will activate and transform your internal nerve centers. Wherever it needs to go, it will go, it will go. There's no interference from the thought. So what happened is, I remember during the early days when I was doing it, it moved by itself. That's why we had the force support trust. Trust means trust your nature to do. That's why completely silent. Allow the awareness nature to detect the gateway. But the gateway is also the unconditioned, like our true mind. But there is only a point somewhere in your body where you can access it. So because it's only a point, the analogy I give is like if you have one section of the wall, all painted white. But there's a small point where you can maybe go in and connect to the other side. But you cannot see it. It's so fine. And the more difficult part is not only use something to look for it. You cannot. If you use your thought, you cannot go in. It will not open. You have to use your true mind, your silent mind. Then when it detects, because you didn't do anything, that nature draws. Then it naturally goes in. Then when it goes in, a lot of things will happen. Different people use different description to describe it. So, but the one that go through, they will know. Then when this thing happened, I still remember in the year 1989 when it happened, I was completely still. Because that thing went in and moved by itself. Then I become so still. Not only no thought, the whole internal becomes so still. Then the brain here all quiet, completely quiet. Then my body keep on that nature transforming it. It moves inside and it do all the things. I didn't do agent witness. That awareness just witness. Then of course, like I explained, the byproduct is mainly gas. But this kind of gas that come out, no foul smell on. Yeah, it's not from the intestinal, understand? It's through the gateway. The other thing is, As this one goes in and activate and transform, I realize my consciousness, my awareness, that nature, become more and more refined, more and more refined. And that vibration like become very, very fine. Until finally, the mundane mind cannot take that vibration, too gross. That's why it has to collapse. That's how the mundane mind collapse. And you can feel it. At the forehead there, a lot of things will happen. There is like a layer of thick consciousness drop off. It takes a while to drop off. That's why when Ajahn Buddhadasa, he mentioned, he has a statue, I don't know, it's Kuan Yin or what. It's a statue, it look like Kuan Yin, I think, Avalokiteshvara. Then he has a wheel, you know what it's a wheel, V-E-I-L. In his talk, he shared with the disciple, is it? He said, enlightenment is like that. It's like there is a wheel that wheel or cloud your nature, cloud your ability to have the direct seeing and the awakening. The moment that wheel drop off, he said, he can see everything, he understand. I believe his mundane mind also dropped. Otherwise, he cannot give this analogy. But it's not recorded in the sutta and in the commentary. And he dared to say. So that was the only monk I realized talked about that. But he didn't describe it the way I described. He just said like a wheel, V-E-I-L. It just dropped off. To me, he's describing very lightly the mundane mind. So unless you go to, you cannot understand. And it's not easy for the mundane mind to drop off. Then I remember at that time when that thing happened, my whole body was like in perfect health or because of the pure energy. It's like your car, you go to the mechanic and you tune until the car got no sound. The engine very small. Very slow. Then that time you can feel you are like in perfect health. So that's why when you talk about chakra, be careful. Don't be too greedy and too eager to assess without understanding or knowing. You know, all this, as far as I know, are thought-based energy field. You know, when you direct your thought to that area, Tan Tien or forehead or the heart chakra or anywhere, that thought is energy, understand? If you keep on like those who store the thing at the Tan Tien, they keep on sending their thought there. Their thought. Okay. So they stay there, stay there. To them it's like awareness, but it's not really right. It's the thought, it's the mind. Then this one, energy build. The what they call it the Sasahara, the major chakra at the forehead up there, it's the same. The Kundalini. They go and use the thought. You can also release the energy. The chakra are major energy center. So when they store them, they actually open up the chakra and release a lot of energy. That's why those who do Kundalini, they know Kundalini is very powerful. But I have seen a group of people who follow one Swami from India who came over for 1 week. They went for retreat. Then after 1 week, all of them like become, I don't know how to describe, they develop problem, but they go and actually do it. And then after he's gone, there's nobody to guide them. So they got a lot of what they call problem. A lot of them got karmic problem and all, say, and very severe. So it's like, they tamper with it, then they don't know what to do with it. It's like heartbreak. Then in the year 1989, after I had that understanding, one of these guys who was actually the leader of that group, he got psychiatric problem, family problem, children or business all affected. because of what he did. But he didn't know it was that energy field, that psychic energy. Then finally, somehow very strange, he ended up seeing a lot of doctors. Nobody can help. Then he went and see my classmate, my Alastair classmate, also Theo, Dr. Theo. He went and consulted him. Then my classmate is very different. He very good doctor. He checked his body. His health was very good. He got no problem. So he knows it's psychological problem. But he cannot explain. You know, everything go wrong. So what happened was, my this classmate didn't even tell me. He said, I think my friend can help you. He gave him my phone number. And the guy called me. And he said, who are you? Who asked you to call me? He said, I consulted this doctor. This Dr. Theo, he named the name. Theo Kim Loon. Huh? I said, yeah, I know him. He's my friend. He said, you can help me. Well, you know, I said. Then I asked him, what is your problem? Then he told me about his condition, but he don't want to go deep into his business failure or those things. Then he asked me, he said, can you help me? Can I come over to see you and all those things? It seems he, after he got all this trouble, he went to KYCO. Guan Yin Contemplative Order. You heard of it? Huh? KYCO, you all didn't hear. During the 80s, 90s, very popular. I think Yan Tano. There is this Tony something. The brother actually got cancer. Or don't know what. Then they tried to seek cure. Then nobody can actually help. If I'm not wrong, he's a Christian actually. Then finally he said, whatever being can help, I will believe that teaching. Then somehow when he got affinity, came to him, then advised him, instructed him, and the brother recovered. That's why he set up the KYCO. And the book, every year they got one book, I take one. So he every year come and offer me the book. Then when he asked me how I do my meditation, then he told me about the Swami and all those things, but he never tell me his problem. Then I said, the type of meditation I don't teach on, very energy field, topics and all things, psychic. No? Then he said, what do you do? So I told him, the Theravada tradition, radiate metta, because I know he got a lot of this negative thing. I said, you must do metta. He cannot do. Then later on, I said, you want to understand, eh? You have to develop the understanding of the Buddhist teaching. So he finally turned out only follow me to do the dana and offering. Then one day he heard my last guide. After don't know what condition, he came to Singapore. Then I told you, 6 times the condition gave me, call me. Of course, through the Singapore friend. I'm not supposed to meet him. But that time, 89, I already understood the number. But very strange, you know. I saw the condition keep on coming out. Normally, 2-3 times, I know already, I must meet or I must go. Then I finally, the nature tell me, this guy, I don't know who he is, but I have to see him. That's all I know. Now, the moment I met him, then I understood. So after I have the understanding, after he has helped me, then I do the thing. Then this guy who came and see me actually is mechanical engineer, more senior than me, but 4 or 5 years. So what happened was, he wanted me to introduce my teacher to him. I say, I cannot, because these are all Theravada tradition. Then Master Shenhua is a Mahayana. But he said, your last one in Singapore, can we go and see him? I said, can I? So we go. He got affinity. You know. So he, after a few days there, he decided to invite him over. You know. He said, we invite him over to Malaysia. I think they can sense to their karmic thing or what. But my dear last guy is an occult specialist, you know, he know energy thing, right? And he know how to deal with all this sort of thing. He told me, he said, deal. This group of people, they don't know what they are doing. They go and tamper through thought all their chakra. Because he said their energy is so negative. You know? Negative means that he is not a Buddhist. Negative means a lot of karmic things. That's why they all, everyone haywire. A lot of things went wrong. Everything went wrong. Business went wrong. The children got problem. The house got problem. A lot of problem until he cannot take it. Then later on, I teach him to make offering. Yeah, he brought the KOIC book. I said, Kuan Yin is great compassion, and loving kindness. So you do, I said. Then I think it helped. It helped. He slowly sees some result. That's why he was very happy. Then when he met my last guy, again, go back to energy. Because that guy helped him to throw all those negative. He got to cleanse them, no, cleanse them. No. Then he told me, he said, he used his physical body as a funnel to release all this negative energy, you know, back to nature. And he told me, never touch all this sort of thing. I said, all along I cannot touch it. So if you are not careful, you don't have a good guide, somebody who can guide you, you better don't touch the thing. But this is my personal experience. This guy finally became very close to me also, family friend. But then after, I think, the year 2008, then we separated because of certain incident. Then that first batch, the group all, they follow him. Then the whole thing dispersed. Then I continue with what I share. But then after that, it seems he also passed away. So I also don't know what happened to the group. Not much news about it. So basically what I want to tell you is don't touch energy field. Understand? If your karma is such that you have to touch it, then please, develop the mindfulness. Understand? Like Qigong or what? The mindfulness is very good. But if you want to use the energy, it's your choice, understand? For healing and all those things. I mean, it can give you energy. It can release the chakra energy and heal. And sometimes you look at the Qigong, they can really create heat out of it and all things. They can do a lot of things. But I don't know. As far as I understand, this one doesn't lead to wisdom. Understand? But of course, just like the Hindu teaching, the yoga and all those things, they say they also got wisdom. They also meditate. So I also don't know, because I never go into those fields. I cannot comment or say anything. But I know they have their good point. Yoga is relaxation. But Kundalini, I have heard about this tempering thing, which I personally, through my own understanding, is yes. You use your thought to go in before you are enlightened. You know what happened or not? Because your thought, is energy. Without the wisdom, your yin yang is imbalanced. That's why you use that type of thing to force it open. You release the energy. Without wisdom, you cannot control. The Mara will attack you. The non-human will attack you. Your karmic, everything will go haywire. So that is basically what happened. And not only him, no, his whole group kena. Then I say, how come you didn't contact the Swami? He said, the Swami cannot be contacted. I reflected, it's their karma. Because last time they also play with it, get involved with it. Then they get people into trouble. Now, for no reason, one Swami come from India, they are one group, almost 30 of them, no? So interested, no? Went for the thing. No? Then after that, everyone panicked. No? So this is what happens when you do not understand. You go and play the energy field. It's like if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And they call it the Jianghu, the law of swordsmanship. When you are in the swordsman world, people will come and challenge you. When you say you are the number one, they also want to become number one. So they will come and challenge you. That's why you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So psychic has that type of problem. Then when you have psychic, you tend to use it. Like it or not, it's a double-edged weapon. If you don't have the wisdom, if you use it wrongly, it will backfire. Okay? So that's why I want to add and we continue.
23rd Heart Sutra class and meditation class on 9 September 2012. 1.1. The five aggregates, understanding, meditation, and sati. Within the five aggregates of form and mind, form is much grosser and has perceptible characteristics, hence it is quite easy to see and understand. But when it comes to mental aggregates like feeling, perception, activities of mind, that is thinking, mental states, mental formation, and intentions, etc., and consciousness, they are formless. Hence, they are much subtler and more difficult to see and understand. Most people do meditation without the true understanding of what is meditation as taught by the Buddha and its true purpose and intent. Hence, their main activities are centered on developing the so-called good meditation, such as calmness and tranquility of mind via concentration and focusing of the mind using thought. Such calmness and tranquility are usually taken as good meditative states, which they will cling onto as a sign of good progress, forgetting that it is only wisdom that frees and liberates the mind. The calmness and tranquility are good conditioned states, but they are only the byproduct of meditation that should not be clung onto. Instead, they should make use of it to develop the wisdom or insight needed for enlightenment via sati, to see things as they are, without any concepts, words, ideas, or thoughts. Without sati or mindfulness, you cannot see things as they are, to understand what is going on in life within the moment. Use the sati or silent mind before the knowing to meditate and awaken, and to awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature, and to develop the insight knowledge needed to free the mind. See clearly that all phenomena are natural conditions arising upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases. Also see how upon contact, consciousness and its seven universal mental concomitants come to be, and how through ignorance, contact conditions craving, leading to all the grasping and clinging, etc., that causes one suffering, when wisdom or yoniso manasikara or wise attention is not there at the moment of sense experience. Then one will come to understand clearly how thought arises due to response to memories, and how one grabs and clings to all these memories via our mental perceptions and thinking that condition our emotional negativities and fear, etc., leading to all the suffering and misery in life. And because of delusion, you take them as very real and give them meaning, hence arising your grasping and clinging. In actual fact, there is no one to see, to think, to feel, grasp and cling. All these are due to one's wrong view or sakkaya ditti or self-delusion, because one still cannot see their conditioned arising nature to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. The human beings, first aspect of our five aggregates of form and mind, is only a vehicle and a tool, chemically conditioned out by our karmic nature for us to use and live this segment of our life, and it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I, because it is not you. When you see this clearly, you truly awaken. We have taken birth and die over for so many countless lives. So which of all these countless numbers of segmented life is you? None. So do awaken to this truth with right view and wisdom. Then you will understand the secret of life, and we will know how to truly live life without having to worry about life anymore. 1.2. Question 1. This wisdom or realization, does it happen during or out of meditation? But you answered, it can happen anytime, as long as one is heedful, which means constantly meditative and ever mindful, and be the steadfast one, as explained by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 23. Never crave or desire or expect it to happen, because the craving, desire, and expectations are thoughts that will prevent one from awakening to the state of enlightenment, which is beyond thought, to see things as they are. Silence the mind completely and be patient to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha via sati, or the silent mind. Then only can one awaken. When you are out of the formal meditation and yet you are still heedful most of the time, then you can also awaken to the truth. That is, as long as you are heedful, awakening can happen anytime. You can realize it via any of the first, second, or third turnings of the Four Noble Truths. But if you are heedless, you are as if dead spiritually. Hence, no way to awaken, as confirmed by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 21. 1.3. Question 2. When we say we must be constantly aware, what is it that we must be aware of? But you answered, awareness is before the knowing. So there is nothing for you to be aware of technically. It is just awareness before the labeling of perception and words, i.e. mind in silent awareness to see things as they are, before the arising of the aggregates of mind to interpret and give meaning to them. Just the mind and phenomenon in harmony and perfect synchronization before the knowing. So don't go and note anything or look for the phenomena, but instead just silence your mind and allow the phenomena to tell you their characteristics via the silent awareness to awaken to all the three universal characteristics of all phenomena. This is the reason for the Buddha's instructions on cultivating anapanasati, or mindfulness of the in and out breath. They are breathing in aware and breathing out aware, i.e. just an awareness of the in and out breath. The breath and mind move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony without thoughts and at ease. In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see, because it is just a pure consciousness or awareness before the knowing that arises naturally upon contact of mind. With the eye as the organ, like the physics experiment analogy of the light, bulb, battery, and the switch. So similarly, when you are aware, there is no one to be aware of anything, because it is just awareness, i.e. the silent mind and phenomenon as one, without thought, to perceive anything. Equanimity means non-duality, seeing things as they are with yoniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, is the key to enlightenment. Because only through wisdom or understanding can the mind be free. The nature's laws that govern all of life and existence, especially the law of karma, is very complex. So without wisdom, it is very difficult to cope with life. Thinking can become a habitual tendency when we lack mindfulness and wisdom. And because of our rather conditioned views and opinions, we tend to develop a lot of negative thoughts via habitual tendencies. As we understand, wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition our fear, worries, anxieties, sufferings, and miseries, etc. As such, they should be abandoned via right effort and wisdom. We must apply the Kalama Sutta's advice, not only as advice given to us, but also to our thoughts. Hence, whatever advice given to us, in order to know whether we should follow it or not. The Buddha said to the Kalama at that time that they should reflect and contemplate as follows to find out. If I follow their advice, will it cause suffering and misery to others and to me? If not, then we can try it out. Otherwise, abandon it. So, if it is applied to our own thoughts, then we will know how to abandon all the wrong thoughts and develop only the right and wholesome thoughts via the four right efforts as described in the Noble Eightfold Path. Without wisdom, thought is always egoic. With wisdom, we can see all this, i.e. we can see the limitation of thoughts and how thoughts divide to words like race, religion, gender, nationality, views and opinions, relationships, etc. To bring about all the conflicts, misunderstanding, argument, jealousy and envy leading to all the enmities and wars. With wisdom, we will see clearly that it is only thoughts and form and mind arguing. They are only the aggregates of mind and not you. Like the analogies as given by the Buddha to the five aggregates, feeling is like a bubble. Because feeling or sensations always arise and pass away from moment to moment. Perception is like a mirage, only a mental image. Sankhara is like a banana tree stem because layer after layer after you feel at the center or core, it is empty, which is similar to your thoughts or thinking. They always arise and pass away, and very quickly they are dead and gone, hence empty. Only thoughts. Then consciousness is like a great magician or illusionist, creating all the illusions to delude you. Living beings should inquire deep into why the Buddha said Sabbe Sankhara Anicca and Sabbe Sankhara Dukkha and Sabbe Dhamma Anatta to understand its deep meaning. Sankhara is only mental activities of thoughts. So how come they have the power to delude you and cause you so much suffering and misery? It is because via ignorance and delusion, you give it power to torment you without your knowing. With wisdom, we can see all this clearly and we will come to understand that things are just the way they are and that everything that we come to perceive through our mind are all conditions arising, causal phenomena, and they are all manifestation of mind or mental images only, hence not so real and not what we think. So don't grasp, don't cling, and don't give it meaning via delusion, otherwise they can torment you. The essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha are 1. The Appamada Vagga, Dhammapada verses on heedfulness, D21, D22, and D23. Dhammapada 21, Dhammapada 22, and Dhammapada 23. 2. The Four Noble Truths, the Noble Eightfold Path, the Five Hindrances of Mind, the Five Spiritual Faculties. Three, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, delusion, the five daily contemplations. Four, right view with regards to the law of karma. Four noble truths and the shufflings, and they must be clearly understood in order to progress along the path of Dhamma. The reason being, when I first came out to share the Buddha Dhamma during the year 2004, I thought what living beings need was the Dhamma. But after I had started, I came to realize that very few could really understand the true Buddha Dhamma, because at that time, their basic understanding of the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha was still not there. So when I contemplated on it, the inquiry on how can living beings develop the understanding of the true Dhamma, then this understanding comes to me. This is the reason why nowadays I reverse the teaching to focus on the essential Dhamma first, before teaching the true Dhamma to new people. We are not able to be aware of the silence of nature because of the phenomenal world. Our mind is so clouded by thoughts, the vibrations and activities of mind that thoughts create. This is the reason why most of you can only perceive the silence of nature only in the middle of the night, when everything is very quiet via the absence of mind. Consciousness creates the world and the continents and the universe. The knower becomes the living beings. Via ignorance and delusions, the knower grabs onto the form and mind, thinking that it is real and what they are. Hence, becoming the traveler in space and time, wandering in samsara, following the law of karma. Certain Dhamma books talk about be with the knower. Actually, there is no knower or any atta at all. There is only awareness. Like the Buddha explained, in the seeing, it is only the seeing consciousness and there is no one to see. Everything is conditioned arising, and they always arise and passing away following nature's conditions. Hence, just be aware and don't get involved. That's why the mind that has wisdom will not stir. Thoughts are just thoughts. They are neither good or bad, because it depends on the user of thoughts. And if the user of thoughts has wisdom, then thoughts become right thoughts, and they are so beautiful. Use thoughts appropriately via arising only right and wholesome thoughts. Right thoughts bring about harmony and wholesomeness, whereas wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your fear, worries, anxiety, suffering, and misery, etc. When we are born with these five aggregates of form and mind via our karma, we must understand that it is just like a vehicle and tool for us to use and live life. The body is like our physical tool or vehicle that can take us around, and the mind is our mental tool for us to use to live and experience life in the here and the now. Together we call it a human being, which we think is a permanent unchanging entity that we can grasp onto as the me and the I, hence the delusion. When we develop the pure awareness-based meditation to connect to our true nature or true mind and awaken to the truth, to see the unreality of this form and mind, then we can understand clearly what this form and mind is. Then there is no more sakkaya ditti or self-delusion. With this wisdom connected to this form and mind, the form and mind is then no longer deluded. Hence, it will not grasp anymore, thereby freeing the mind from all suffering. It will have the enlightenment factor of equanimity within, hence no more stirring of the mind to be afflicted again. It will be at peace with all things. It will know how to live life and no more delusion to worry about life anymore, because you have clearly understood that these five aggregates of form and mind of this segmented life of yours as a human being is not you. This is the ultimate understanding. Important notes one. The four important supports needed to develop the proper awareness-based meditation are relax, aware, 24 hours, and trust. Two, when the heart area cannot open up, it is very difficult to progress along the path of Dhamma. So the bowing and reverential salutation to develop the Saddha, Viriya, and Sati, spiritual faculties to open up our heart area to make it sensitive to receive the spiritual energies needed to connect to our nature within is very important. Three, just relax, aware, and silence your mind to develop the heedfulness. Then you will progress along the path of Dhamma naturally, following Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23. 4. Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead. All conditioned things are impermanent, non-self and empty, anatta. Therefore, strive on with heedfulness, appamadena sampadeta, as advised by the Buddha, and do not be heedless. Without sati or mindfulness, you cannot be heedful, for sati is life.
Okay, very good. I just want to add on a bit. On the page 124, under important notes, number 2, when the heart area cannot open up, that's why that open, I put inverted comma, not really open it up. Please don't be gullible. Open means you can like make it sensitive, activate it. But you cannot go in from outside. Understand not? If you want to go in from outside, you need to make sure that it is a wholesome thought. Understand not? Not the one with the duality one, not the one with the greed and all that. So what happened is, I put here, unless the heart area can open up, it's very difficult to progress along the path of Dhamma. So the bowing and the reverential salutation to develop the spiritual faculty to open up the heart area, to make it sensitive to receive spiritual energy, needed to connect to our nature within is very important. So how does bowing and this so-called reverential salutation, which is the same, bring about it? And why do we do this every time for our pump and recite sadhu sadhu? I don't know how many of you realize during the early days before your heart area open up. I realize every time I have faith and I put my palms together like that, I rejoice and I sadhu. There's an energy going to my heart. But this is rejoicing, pure virtue. No negativity. Then when you pay respect also because of your faith in the Buddha and the enlightened one and the worthy one, then you pay respect. Every time you pay respect, that faith, like create that movement, the virya, the spiritual zeal for you to go. Then there is this movement here that slowly, slowly open up. I only came to know in 1986 after I do the 10,000 bow, the Master Shen Hoi, where I take refuge. Then after I actually developed the cultivation. But after that, I realized when I keep on rejoicing, my teacher Acharyan Chuan know I really like to rejoice. Because this is my perfection, also my parami. Rejoicing, I did it until very good. Every time I hear the truth, I can really rejoice. And when I rejoice, it's very deep inside. Then he, every time, I think he is mindful, he's aware. He realized I'm the first to rejoice on, and very loud one from the back. Yeah. I was doing the recording. So when I went to Australia, the Katina, in the year 19, After 1989, during 1990, there were a lot of Thai people devotee all there, and also all over the world. Of course, Malaysian also got, Singaporean also got. So while he was delivering the sharing, I heard from outside. I brought my whole family there. Then he mentioned, he told them, "You see, you must rejoice, like Mr. Thiel." Then only I came to know, no wonder, because that sadhu, that rejoicing with my palm floor, I can feel the energy there. That after a while, this one, like open up. Open up means it's not your heart area, open up. Open up, it becomes sensitive. Then I realize I can detect energy. That's why I can detect Acayantra's energy, the metta, the loving kindness, all this. Oh. Then everywhere I go, I can detect energy. Then I realized this one, later on, I do the daily mindfulness. Before I met my last guy, I do until the energy is stuck here. There's too much energy. But luckily, I at that time, all virtue, understand, rejoicing, respect, then I do awareness based on. So I do sati one. Then when I do sati, of course, I return my awareness to my heart. It become more sensitive, more sensitive. But this energy, I got no outlet now. Not release, no. I got to slow down, no. I tell myself, no, I cannot continue. No. It continue the energy, I don't know what to do with you. Yes, because then I do until one day, do you know what happened? This one make me aware on its own, no. That awareness that I return until this heart area, it made me aware, one no. Non-stop one no. I told one of the Thai monk that I brought to Sungai Buloh, there is a Indian who got a kuti there on KKB. You know him or not? Very old area. He's an Indian. He got a kuti, he liked to invite monk and everything. But anyway, to cut the matter short, he was invited. I remember the Thai monk was Ajahn Sudhinan. He okay. He the whole family, the father, the mother, and he all cultivated. So when I took him, well, he asked for transport. So I said, okay, I also go with you. So I took him there. So on the way we discussed how you meditate. Then I said, I do awareness. He said, what do you mean you do awareness? I said, I return my awareness to my heart. I do until the heart make me aware on its own. Oh, he looked at me, He looked at me. You sure? Your heart make you aware? Yeah, I mean, continuously aware. Then after a while, he know that I know a lot of things. I understand that what I'm doing, he also cannot do one. Then he also touched psychic on. He actually can come out on his that, what they call
Still.
not consciousness. There is this one,
Still.
astral body, astral body, not astral, astral. I don't know how to spell the word astral body. That one come out. Then he can see the non-human one, and he tell people. But then I say I cannot see. I don't do this kind of thing. So he was so interested. He keep on saying, I want to give you a Pali name. I'm not interested. Every time I pay respect to him, he's very happy. Oh, he was sit nicely and adjust his role. Then finally, I together with another, my first batch together with me on the Dharma friend. We together sponsor his trip, the air ticket, to Acayantra. So at Acayantra, Acayantra also know, this monk, okay. So he one day I remember he was at the Kuti. So he's supposed to come out earlier. But all the devotee, everybody there waited hours, don't know, 2 or 3 hours. But I don't know how he know. After he come out, then everybody was there, so we all pay respect. Also. So we all didn't go near. No? Me and that monk, we didn't. Yeah. Then after that, he said, you all must have waited very long. A lot of you are impatient. Very, very impatient. He can sense. No? Then he said, only 2 people, not impatient. They have joy. They understand. He said, Mr. Teo and that monk. Then after that, when the Katina ceremony, everything over, he saw I transform until I become so different. Now I don't talk. I was very, very quiet, very still. We're here still. Then what happened was, he came to me, said, Mr. Teo, something happened to you. I just found. I said, I also not sure. He said, something happened to you. Maybe he can see you. I think he sensed it. You know, I become so different. Then after that, on the way back, in the plane, again, they want to give me a name. No? I said, never mind. I said, then finally, one day, he cannot take it away. He said, I must give you. I don't care whether you want or not. You know what name he gave me? In Bino, you write. Yeah, you write on the board. Viro Kema. Anybody know the meaning? You know what is a Viro? Or not? Ah, Viro is hero. Kema? Ah, yeah, Kema, you heard of. What is Kema?
Liberation.
Ah, liberation. Hero liberation. No. I got a shock. No. And he gave me that name. No. I don't want all this name. No. Acharya never give me Pali name. No. He gave my daughter, he gave my son, he gave my wife. He never gave me. As if he know, I don't need this type of name. Vero Kema.
Is it V, right?
Yeah, V. Vero. I think separate word. Never mind, it's okay. You can join it. So Vero is hero. Kema is liberation. Hero or liberation? No? When I go and check the Pali word for Kema, I saw the word liberation, I got a shock. Oh, this monk will be pie. He sensed it. Oh. So a lot of things that happen, you cannot understand. So when I was having this energy too strong, I slowed down my mindfulness. Oh. Then suddenly, deep inside told me, you know what it told me? My teacher told me, if you take care of mine, mine take care of you. Suddenly, that thing dawned on me. Yeah, I take care of this mind. Oh. I develop mindfulness to when I return to the center. Yeah, I don't know where the gateway is. No outlet, understand? This energy keep on building up. And I was doing it throughout the day, you know, non-stop. You know. Every moment, every instant, I went on. Then that mindfulness from inner one keep on going back until this one like fill up. It is like that thing like pressurized. So I can sense it. If I continue means I force it already. No point. So I slow down. I relax. I stop. Then I have to radiate metta. That's why that time my metta very strong. I radiate metta. That time my metta was very strong. Everything I do, that area come up. Then later on, when I met that last guy, you remember I told you, Genting man? He held my hand. No? He said, Teo? He didn't call me Mr. Teo. He's the only one calling me Teo. He said, forget about what they tell you, the Singapore people, and I'll say. What I want you to understand is, I teach 4 things. He said, relax, aware, 24 hours, trust. Then I look at you. I said, the first 3, I already done. I already done. Yeah, he held my hand. He said, I know. Your vibration is so fine. Yeah, he held my hand. Mine is not like normal people. You know, he told me, normal people, most people, you hold the hand, He said like a what they call tractor. Because the vibration is so gross. He hold your hand, he can feel it. He got this mindfulness, awareness. They are pure energy, but occult. So he told me that. Then I said, good. The first three I done. He said, okay, very good. Do you trust me? He said, oh, sorry, before that. Where do you return your awareness? I point to the center of the heart. He's straight away there and then tell me, oh no, wrong. Wrong. But I didn't panic, you know. I didn't like become unhappy. Because I can sense he's so confident. No? And he know what he's saying. But how can the four things, first three I do already one. Understand? No? So it was my vow, you know. My that special vow. Whenever my nature arises, it wants to understand the highest wisdom at any time when I arise, regardless of whether it's Buddhism or what. That's why, because of that, he need to come. I don't know him from very far. No way to meet him. He just came out of that thing because people came to know about him. Then he was that time not famous, and very low key one. But somehow this Singapore friend of mine that I met, Casey, he was the one that told me they want to meet this guy. He said the latest, the best, and all of that. So I don't know. But what he told me, all energy, psychic. So I said, never mind. So six time, keep on the condition coming. So finally, I met him. Then only I know it is meant to be. That's why after that, he said, do you trust me? Then I said, sure, I trust you. He said, okay. Actually, he wanted to start the thing. Then I said, have you all taken your dinner? They haven't taken dinner. Oh, I take you all up there for dinner. Kampong restaurant, I remember. So we went for dinner, we talked. Then after that, he come back. Straight away, he started. He said, you trust me? I said, yeah, come sit down. His hand was 2 inches away from my heart area, on the left. Then I can feel the pure energy shooting on me. Activated something. Actually, that is the gateway. Then after that, because I know how to do that one, I realized my this energy that is stuck here, everything flow in. Then I become like completely still. Until this brain also, no thought, nothing, no activity, nothing. That's why after that, the transformation keep on happening, and that movement, a lot of things happen. Yeah. So the story ends here. We are 5 o'clock already. So you all can break for 5:02. That's why a lot of things, unless there is condition, we cannot share. But don't go and say all this. Just keep it to yourself. It's for you to have your faith. If you can develop the faith, it's already the intention is already achieved. Okay? So forget about all this sort of thing. But nature is such. Condition arise, things will happen. So all this by itself, it happened. Okay? So pay respect. Pay respect. Pay respect, then you can grow.